The Metropolitan Transportation Authority Board voted to indefinitely pause the congestion pricing plan to charge drivers entering Manhattan below 60th Street. That means the MTA will lose out on over $16 billion in funding. John Oliber is chairman of the MTA.
We're following the law, which says that congestion pricing is the law of the state of New York, and we're putting ourselves in a position to implement it when the pause is lifted.
The plan to increase tolls has drawn wide support from environmental groups and disability rights advocates, but Governor Hochul suspended the program earlier this month. She says it would cause financial hardship on low-income residents, especially those traveling to the city from Long Island and Connecticut. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. Thousands of Connecticut firefighters are suing the companies that make their gear. Brookhaven residents want the town to pull out of a settlement with Covanta. $20 million will improve pedestrian safety in different parts of Connecticut. And brace yourself for some heavy traffic over the holiday weekend. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Study finds that low and moderate income families in Connecticut were able to afford health insurance during the pandemic because of subsidies from the American Rescue Plan Act. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Lisa Manzer, the director of the Center for Women's Welfare at the University of Washington, conducted the study. She says the percentage of Connecticut households who could not afford health insurance decreased from 20% to 13% between 2019 and 2022.
For those with individual marketplace insurance, the decrease was substantial, from 68% to 20%.
Manzer says a big reason was the subsidies provided by the American Rescue Plan Act money and an increase in Connecticut's earned income tax credit.
Just showing that government policies really can make big impacts on affordability.
But those subsidies are set to expire by 2025. Manzer spoke at an informational hearing on healthcare cost growth hosted by the state's Office of Healthcare Strategy. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
Thousands of Connecticut firefighters are suing the companies that make their gear for using a dangerous chemical in the manufacturing process. WSHU's Molly Ingram has more.
The lawsuit says firefighters have gotten sick from the PFAS chemicals used to keep their gear fire retardant, and that the manufacturing companies, including 3M and DuPont, knew that the materials were dangerous and did not warn users. PFAS is linked to cancer, compromised immune systems, and liver damage, according to the CDC. The Uniformed Professional Firefighters Association and five unions are named as plaintiffs. Their lawyers say they are seeking federal class action status to represent all of Connecticut's firefighters. The state is home to approximately 4,000 professional firefighters. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Environmental advocates in Brookhaven demand transparency from the town in its whistleblower lawsuit against Covanta. The lawsuit tied Brookhaven into challenging the waste management company for violating environmental standards over the years. Town officials want the suit to end with a multi-million dollar settlement. Monique Fitzgerald is with the Brookhaven Landfill Action and Remediation Group. She says pollution from Covanta has had negative impacts on the surrounding area.
Instead, this body regurgitates the garbage that the waste industry gives them, knowing the driving force of the waste industry is money. This type of governance is lazy, deadly, and it comes without our consent.
Many residents want officials to reject the settlement and demand more from the company for damages. Three Connecticut projects to improve pedestrian safety have gotten federal funding. Plus, the New York metro area has been labeled as one of the world's most congested. Those stories and more are ahead. First, a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group, HartfordHealthcare.org.
Go Governor Hochul announced this week the approval of $70 million in low-interest, tax-free bonds for upgrades at two Long Island school districts. WSHU's Andrea Quillis has more.
The bonds were issued by the State Dormitory Authority. They will support renovations and upgrades to enhance safety, technology, and athletic field improvements. Hempstead received $39.4 million, while East Islip received over $31.7 million. Hempstead School Superintendent Regina Armstrong says the funding will help build Rhodes Academy, a pre-kindergarten through sixth grade school in Hempstead. The governor says nearly $957 million in funding critical capital projects statewide will provide young people with a proper learning environment, at the same time making it more affordable for taxpayers in New York. Andrew Quillis, WSHU News.
New Haven's school board passed an updated budget for the upcoming academic year. The initial budget from May resulted in an $11 million gap. Now it leaves just about a $2 million gap. A union representing Nassau Community College teachers has sued the school after its board of trustees proposed eliminating 15 academic departments through consolidation. The trustees say it's meant to deal with low enrollment rates and to cut spending. Connecticut families who applied for state-funded summer EBT cards for food will have to wait until August for their benefits. The state says the benefits were supposed to be deposited Sunday, but experienced unexpected delays. More than 270,000 children are expected to get $40 a month for 3 months. The town of Riverhead was awarded a $24 million federal RAISE grant to fund downtown economic development. It'll be used for a new parking garage, flood mitigation, and local street improvements. The grant is the largest award in the town's history. Three Connecticut projects to improve pedestrian safety have gotten federal funding. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports more than $20 million will support better sidewalks and safer roadways.
During the first 5 months of this year, there were more than 470 crashes involving pedestrians in Connecticut, according to the University of Connecticut's Crash Data Repository. Lawmakers say the federal funding will support life-saving infrastructure upgrades. $2 million will be spent on a study to determine a bicycle and pedestrian route on the Berlin Turnpike. Nearly $6 million will go toward closing a 16-mile gap in the Naugatuck River Greenway Trail, and the remaining $14 million will fund the construction of new car, bike, and pedestrian lanes around the South Norwalk train station. The funding is through the U.S. Department of Transportation, which distributed $1.8 billion nationwide. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The New York City metro area is the most congested city among 37 countries worldwide. That's according to the global traffic data monitoring firm INRIX. WSHU's Eric Warner reports.
The Global Traffic Scoreboard compiled travel delay comparisons, costs to drivers and regional authorities, and commuting trends for more than 900 cities. New York drivers lost a total of approximately 101 hours from traffic jams last year, which beat out London by a couple of hours. This is 10 hours more than what New York drivers experienced before the COVID-19 pandemic. INRIX researchers cite an increase in ride-sharing, online deliveries, and in-person work trips for this increase in New York City congestion. Eric Warner, WSHU News.
We're about 1 week out from what's forecasted to be the busiest time on the roads for the 4th of July holiday. More than 70 million people nationwide are expected to travel somewhere over the next week. AAA Northeast spokesperson Mark Shildrop says that number could jump depending on the weather.
Some folks have trips planned, or they always go to the same place every year, or they expect friends or family to come in from out of town. But when there's folks sitting around the house, if it's a rainy day, you know, that's going to put a damper on some of that traffic. But if we have nice sun, good beach weather, that could really push the numbers up as far as that volume.
Nationwide, it's expected to be the busiest Independence Day holiday for travel since 2019. AAA says July 2nd between 2 and 6 p.m. will be the worst, as holiday travelers and people heading home from work both hit the highways.
For
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or use the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And as always, if you have any thoughts or story ideas you want to share with us, please feel free to send us an email. It's news@WSHU.org. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.